Thank you so much, ladies. I turn that off when I sing because I don't want you all running out of here. But thanks for leading us in worship. I would like to pause for a minute, and Daniel and Melissa asked us to pray for them. So I just would like for us to pause and pray for a moment for Daniel and Melissa. Father, we thank you so much for Daniel. We thank you for Melissa and their call, your call on their lives. We thank you that in your providence, you sent them here for 3 years. And they have been a blessing to us. And they have told us that we've been a blessing to them, and we are grateful. And Lord, we will miss them, but we celebrate the fact that they are now on their way to following your vision for them. We pray that all their support would be raised. We pray you would keep them safe, and Lord, that you would keep them strong. And we just pray that many people in Nepal would come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior because of their ministry. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. They were a delightful couple, weren't they? Today I'm going to remind you of some things you already know. And the reason I want to remind you of things you already know, because in this culture and in this environment we're living in now, it is easy to forget. And I've entitled this message, The Unseen Work of God. I take it from Romans 8, 28 through 30. So if you'd turn in your Bibles, or turn your Bibles to locate that passage, I will read it out of the NIV translation. Romans 8, 28 through 30. I'm going to start with verse 26. I think the message in the back will start at 28. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things God works for good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. Now, I would like to read that in the New King James, because that's how we learned it. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, that's the verse in the translation we know. Now, Kenneth Wiest, a Greek scholar who's written book about Greek, and he translates this verse this way. I think it's very important. And we know with an absolute knowledge that for those loving God, all things are working together, resulting in good for those who are divinely summoned ones according to His purpose. Now, in verses 26 through 30, this says some incredible things about what God is doing. It says some incredible things that we need to hear. Now, I want to tell you something. If you watch the news, if you listen to the news, if you read the news, you're going to develop a negative outlook. It's they can say something that's not even pertaining to COVID-19 or anything, and they will always voice it in, even the weather. How can you be so negative? The channel I watch, and the guy will say, well, in the morning we're going to have these wonderful showers that refresh the earth, but at 1 o'clock the sun's going to come out and we're going to start dying. With heat stroke. Come on. We're not going to die of heat stroke. We're going to die of COVID. We know that. Give us a break. I understand heat kills that stuff. You ought to just go out there and lay on the trampoline with your mouth open. I want to say some things about what God's doing. I just want us to try to offset some of the negativity with truth. First thing, God is assisting us in our praying. He is assisting us in our praying, which is an inevitable necessity. Verse 26 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to accept that. And we need to accept the fact that one of the invisible things that God is doing is He's praying for us. And there are times when I'm praying for something and I don't know what to say, and I say, Father, I am so glad that though I cannot hear you and though I cannot see you, you know the mind of the Spirit knows your mind, and He is praying for me. That's an incredible comfort. You know, how do you pray for this situation we're in? We may not know exactly what to say, but what I want to tell you something is, if you get down on your knees or however you pray and you start praying, God's Spirit will pray for you, and you will pray the very mind and will of God. You can't pray badly if your heart's pure. You just open up your heart and start praying. And when you don't know what to say, the Spirit of God will pray for you. That's one of the unseen works of God. Isn't that good news? We were talking about healing in Sunday school. By the way, I've been to Sunday school the last 3 or 4 Sundays, and I'm telling you, there's some great teachers and there's some great lessons, and Linda and I have been blessed because we have come. And I recommend, if you're not coming, give it a shot. You will be taught the Word effectively. But we were talking about healing. We were talking about when we go to pray for healing, sometimes we don't know what to say. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Always ask God to heal them. Jerry reminded us, we have now, because we always say, Lord, will you please heal these people? And I am so grateful that I can trust that your Holy Spirit is praying what else that needs to be said. When it's your desire that God heal someone, you need to pray it. You need to pray your heart. Now, the second thing God is doing, these unseen things, is He's orchestrating our circumstances for good. Assisting our praying is an inevitable necessity. We're weak. We have to have help. Would everyone agree with that? When you pray, do you feel inadequate? Boy, I do. I've had people in our small group say, I don't want to pray out loud because when I pray, I feel so inadequate. And I would tell them, if everybody who felt inadequate didn't pray out loud, there would be no prayers prayed out loud. But in our weakness, he prays for us. In our circumstances, he's working for good. That's an incredible promise. D. Martin Lloyd Jones, an expositor from England, says, who was from England, he's now gone, "We are considering here one of the most remarkable statements that even the apostle ever made. It is also one of the most comforting statements in the whole range of Scripture." Now, let me just point out some things to you. First of all, look at the certainty of it. "And we know." This is not something we guess. It's not something we hope. It's not something that may be true. We know it. Charles Swindoll writes in Learning to Walk by Grace, "The Greek term for know in this context refers to the possession of absolute, unshakable confidence. It is something we know." What this is the ultimate victory is assured. It is the ultimate outcome of the campaign that is beyond any question or doubt. We may lose a battle, you may fail in many a detail, but that makes no real difference. The ultimate outcome is guaranteed, and it will be good. Even if we fail. Dr. Lloyd Jones writes, "We do not know, we know," is a good summary of the Christian life. The end, the ultimate end, is guaranteed. But as we live our daily lives, there are many things which we fail to understand, and we shall often be perplexed and in confusion. We are not promised exemption from troubles and trials. We know the ultimate outcome. We know that God's working all things together for good. We don't know what the things in the future are that he's going to work with, but we know the ultimate outcome is good. The certainty is we know. The truth is all things work together for good. Now just we'll look at the scope of that. All things. All things. Every single thing. When the apostle says all things, I believe he means all things that seem to be against us. Things that seem to be bad for us. Things that are discouraging and disheartening and dispiriting. We can say all things are working together for our good. Good things, bad things, trials, troubles, tribulations, illnesses, accidents, disappointments, even failure. God is overruling everything in the cosmos for your good. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? Even your failure. Even your sin. That brings hope. This means disease, cancer, unemployment, divorce, death of a loved one, a broken relationship, not making the team, a rebellious child, an F on your report card, even though your mother was the teacher, an absent mother or father, even an abusive parent or guardian, financial ruin, rejection, you name it, God's going to work it for your good. But there's a synergism to it. work together. All things are not good in and of themselves, but God takes all these things and he synergizes them, he works them together, and the ultimate outcome is going to be good. There will be a day when we look back on 2020 and say, God worked it for good, even though we may not be able to see it now. COVID-19, racial unrest, presidential election, whatever you name, whatever is really giving you anxiety, God will work all these things together for good. It is not good that a child is abused, but it will ultimately be worked together by God for good. Now, you want to know what? It takes faith to believe that. It takes a lot of faith. And the significance is it's for good. We have a good God. We used to sing, God is so good. And that is an affirmation of faith. But he is not only so good, he is invisibly working for our good. And as Paul says in Romans 8 before, ultimately when we get to heaven, whatever we went through on earth will fade into insignificance because of the glory of heaven. But it also says there's a required affection. It's to those who love God. It's to those who love God. In Sunday school today, the teacher said, you know, that he got emotional when he thought about what God has done. Do you get emotional when you think about what God's doing? Do you get emotional when you hear of someone who comes to know Christ? Or someone who's healed? Does it bring tears to your eyes when you think about the fact that Jesus died on a cross for you? You see, we get emotional about the people we love. It's not only a thing of rationality we choose to love, it's a thing of emotion. Our hearts are moved by our love for Jesus. I think one of the things that happens is we hear the stories about Jesus and his death on the cross and his crucifixion and even his resurrection, and we hear them so much that they don't touch us on an emotional level, and that's extremely sad. It's the ones who love him. And John 14 defines those people. Those are the ones who obey him. As you obey God, trials and troubles will come. But you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the ultimate end is good. And then the required position is to those who are called according to his purpose. Those who love him and called according to his purpose. That's the issue. You see, ladies and gentlemen, we come to know Christ. And let's talk about Daniel and Melissa. They came to know Christ. Christ had a claim on their life, and he called them to become doctor, nurse, and he has a call on them to go to Nepal. And in that call, some of the things he did is he worked it where they would be here with us so that we could minister to them and they could minister to us. And now they're going with this purpose. Well, they had plans of having a commissioning service and of sharing a meal together, and they had plans of taking a test here, and they took it in Florida. It looked like things weren't working out, but we know one thing, because they love him and are called according to his purpose, God's going to work everything that happened for their good. Their life will not be diminished. Ultimately, he will work everything for their good. See, there's an unseen activity of God we can never forget. He is praying for us, and he's working for those of us who love him as much as we can, and those of us who are called according to his purpose. He's working the circumstances of our lives for our good. And sometimes we can't see it, but we still believe it. But this leads to the last thing he's doing, the unseen work of God. He is conforming us to the likeness of his Son. Don't miss that. Because those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. Those he called, those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he justified. And those he justified, he's also glorified. I want you to notice that word glorified is in the past tense. It's already done. It's predestined. You are predestined if you're a believer to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Ultimately, you're going to be like him. You're going to be conformed to his life. C.S. Lewis writes, if we could just see the glory that all of us now possess, that's covered in this earthen vessel, we would be amazed. You see, what God's doing is he's got a grand plan, and that grand plan is that we become like Jesus. So when we come to know him, and we're called according to his purpose, and we start loving him, as we grow, we become more and more like him. And so today I should be more like Jesus than I was last year when I was preaching here. I should be continuing, and the circumstances of my life is what God uses to make me and you like him. He is conforming us to the likeness of his Son. That's an invincible purpose. That is going to happen. So what God's doing, this unseen work, is an inevitable necessity. He is praying for us. An incredible promise. He's orchestrating circumstances for our good. In an invincible purpose, he is conforming us to the likeness of his Son. And therefore, our fellowship should get sweeter and sweeter as we all become more and more like Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, I know it's easy to be fearful. I know it's easy to wonder what in the world God is doing in this world. But I want you to know, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, ultimately, there is some unseen activity that God's doing that means ultimately we will see the good that comes out of all this. We need to trust Him. We just need to be reminded that He hasn't left, that He hasn't stopped. He has continually loved us, and He will work all things for our good. Do you have any questions? I know that's unusual in church, but we've got a little time. It's against the rules to let people out of church early. Do you have any questions? How many of you knew everything I said? You already heard it. You knew it. A lot of us did. It's just a reminder. And I knew that. And I'm glad that we can leave here confident in our God. Linda, what are we singing? Just as I am. That's great. We're going to change it. Can we? Can we? God is so good. Okay? Can we do that? All right. Musicians love it when I change the song. Y'all come on up. God bless you. Linda will dismiss us. Is someone to dismiss us? Is it all right if Linda does? Linda will dismiss us when we're through singing, God is so good. Would you stand with me, please?